Good evening. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. I'm the convener, Bob Lederer from WBAI, and we'll start by calling the roll. And it's Wednesday, March 5th at 8:38 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, so we're just going to go from station to station. I'll start with KPFK, Yosh Yamanaka.
Here.
Leslie.
Okay, Jan Goodman.
Here.
Leslie Radford.
Here.
Okay, and then from KPFT, George Ryder. Bill Crozier.
I'm here.
Wesley Bethune. Okay, from WPFW, Rob Robinson.
Here.
Jane Gatewood.
Here.
And then from KPFA, Bonnie Simmons.
Here.
Anthony Fest.
Here.
Tico Chassin.
Here.
And then from WBAI, Serene Roberts.
Here.
And then myself, Bob Lederer, and then from our affiliates, Afia Nwangaza.
Here.
Okay, so we have quorum, and we can go ahead with the meeting. And folks may have seen the proposed agenda that I emailed out, but let me read it out for those who are listening on the stream. It reads, number one, approve agenda for 5 minutes. Number two, election of pro tem chair and secretary for 10 minutes. Three, setting of next meeting date, 5 minutes. Four, review and approval of November 26, 2007 minutes, 10 minutes. Five, report from national election supervisor with questions and answers, 60 minutes. Six, committee priorities for the year. Seven, that would be 20 minutes I'm proposing. Seven, seven and eight are holdover motions from last year. Seven is motion by Rob Robinson referred by the PNB concerning establishing a task force on elections. That would be 10 minutes. And then a motion that originally came from Margaret Prescott, KPFK, on campaign finance reform, suggesting 10 minutes, and then any new business, and a proposed adjournment time no later than 11 p.m. Eastern. So that's the proposal. Are there suggestions, changes?
This is Jane.
Yes.
First, I'm wondering on the WPFW report, could that possibly be stuck in just as a quick item, perhaps? Maybe, I don't know, kind of related to the National Election Supervisor Q&A, I guess. I'm not sure.
You want to have that before or after?
That'd be great. Just a quick report on that.
Okay. Five minutes, good?
Definitely.
Okay.
Hopefully less. The other thing, I'm wondering if Rob's motion has any impact at all on the remaining business with the elections from this year. And so if it does, I guess I'd like him to speak to whether this motion would have any impact on anything that's current, and if so, I think it should be moved up.
Okay, you mean the motion about setting up a task force?
Yes. My only question is whether there was any part of that that would impact what's going on now.
Okay, Rob?
I hope the purpose of this is to get out of the hell that we've been cast into recently. So I don't really know how to answer that question, Jane.
Okay. Then, no, I don't. I'm all right with the rest of the agenda.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Well, I do have...
Can people say their names?
This is Jan Goodman, KPFK.
Okay. Go ahead.
It looks to me like new business has no time. And I propose that maybe something might be new business, although it might come under committee priorities for the year. And I'm just thinking, even though is Casey on the line? Did I miss him coming on?
I haven't
Casey
heard
Peters
him yet.
On the line.
He is aware and has agreed to come on, so I'm expecting him momentarily.
Okay, I'm just thinking that maybe we could have him for a couple minutes less so we have more time for the motions and new business.
How about 50 minutes less?
50 minutes less?
Yes.
15 or 50?
50.
Unfortunately, in some ways I sympathize, but how about 15 minutes less, so it's 45 minutes.
Okay. Any discussion about cutting the NES report from 60 to 45?
What is it that he's going to need 60 minutes to tell us? I hate to be crude, but...
Well,
I think it may be the question and answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously up to the people on this call how long you think you'll need to ask your questions or make your statements of, you know, concern about things that have gone wrong or, you know, whatever the case may be. But if folks think 45 is more realistic, then that's fine.
Should this agenda item actually just be titled NES Q&A instead of report from NES with Q&A? Would that be maybe
well, I think
the point?
My suggestion would be that we give him at least some opportunity to give us a quick update on where things stand at all five stations, and then we can start in with our questions, because not everyone necessarily is up to speed on exactly what the status is of the various vote counts.
It might be more expeditious if each person, somebody from each station was given a chance to report the status and ask a question and then go that way.
Well, this is Yosh from KPFK, and I'm not sure about Jan or Leslie, also from the L.A. Signal area. I don't know that any of us three know exactly where KPFK stands.
Okay.
Well, could I suggest as a compromise perhaps that Casey begin with the report station by station, and we pause after each station, and if one of the committee members wants to add or differ, then at that point they can do that.
This is Rob.
Yes.
I in no way want to have any discussion about WPFW with Mr. Peters after the way our elections have worked out. There's absolutely no point in asking him questions or having discussions with him about the way the elections process has been left.
Look, this is Jan Goodman. Would people on the committee receive a motion to have somebody else appointed to finish up this election stuff, a motion to the new executive director to appoint
it? Point of order?
That's out of order.
Yes, Serene, your point.
Well, I think that discussion is out of order. We're discussing how much time should be allotted on the agenda, not what we will discuss when we get to a particular item.
I'm
speaking to the chair. It's a point of order to the chair, please.
Right. Now, the point is well taken. At this point, we're just discussing which items are on the agenda and how many minutes for each.
Okay. So I have a motion to make, which I guess will be a new business. Just want to make sure that we have enough time to get to it.
This is Leslie, and I'd like to suggest two things going on here. That Casey is going to report, and that basically the stations are going to report, or at least report their problems. Could we make the signal areas reports, written reports to each other? Because I tend to agree with Rob that asking Casey questions at this point isn't going to get us anywhere. But I think there is a lot of information from the various signal areas that we'd all like to share with each other. And I would suggest that a written report might really get us down to 15 minutes, Casey, and we each provide a written report of how the elections worked for us.
Okay, well, let me ask then if there are any people on this call who do want to ask questions of Casey, and if so, how many minutes do you want? I mean, I certainly have some questions.
Yes, I've got questions, and I don't want to just have a report and then just try to thrash or, you know, do Q&A between ourselves by email. That sounds very time-consuming, and I don't know that, well, it just seems that it would expedite matters if we could Q&A with Casey here. If we want to do additional Q&A after he's left the conversation, that's fine. But I think he should be here for at least part of the Q&A.
Pico Chassin.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is Anthony from KPFA, and I would like to know what's going on with the elections at the other signal areas, and Casey's the one who ought to be giving these reports. You know, he's the election supervisor, not us.
Putatively, yeah.
Okay, so at this point, the only proposal I've heard is one to reduce the time for Casey's presentation and question and answer from 60 to 45. Is there any other amendment on that item?
Yes, this is Jan Goodman. Okay. I would propose that we try to limit each station to 9 minutes so that we get to 45 minutes. I mean, we can extend it, but I'm just saying otherwise we may never get to some of the stations.
Okay. Is there any objection to...
Yeah, this is Rain. I think there are areas where much or all of the work has been completed and there really isn't going to be very much to be asked or to be told maybe at this point. We'll just have to keep in mind that we're dealing with five stations and not ask things that are repetitive or not strictly necessary and just move on. I think we've already spent about 8 minutes discussing how we should cut this 10 minutes.
Good point.
Okay, so are we ready to vote on this amendment then to reduce it from 60 to 45? Okay, so is there any objection to reducing it to 45? Okay, hearing none, then that's adopted. Any other amendments to the agenda? And let me clarify that as far as Jan's question about a motion, and actually Rob sent out a motion a little before this call concerning the conduct of whatever future elections are held, ballot counts that are yet to be done, such as at WBAI, that I think it would be in order to entertain any such motions that flow out of or relate to the report of the National Election Supervisor right after his report or as, you know, in connection with that. Is there any objection to handling that way rather than waiting till the very last item of new business?
No, Bob, can I just...
Yes, go ahead.
Bob. Rob, I'm very sympathetic to some things that I've heard. However, I'm loath for us to try to have these discussions in public session, number one. And secondly, I really, you know, at WPFW, based on the way we've been left, I really don't want to have a discussion and solicit Casey's advice about what we should do at this point. I mean, I really don't want to do that.
Okay, well, I certainly respect that, and I think everyone on the committee does, and let's just let people ask or say whatever they want.
Okay.
Now, as far as the public versus not public, let me just point out to the committee members that my understanding, and Yosh is an attorney, and Sophia is an attorney, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is the rules under which we operate, the PNB and the committees, is that the one thing we cannot discuss in public is a personnel matter. So that means if we're evaluating the performance of an individual as opposed to decisions that individual made in his capacity as, you know, supervisor of elections, but as far as competence or whatever, that's something we can't do in a public meeting. And as far as firing or, you know, retaining an individual person, I don't believe we can discuss that in a public meeting. Do either of you differ with my view on that, either Fia or Yosh?
Well, I would just... Well, Fia, did you want to...
No, go ahead.
No, I would just say we're not precluded. It just leaves us open to a lawsuit. So
it's not against the law. It's just
right.
A bad concept. This is Jan Goodman, another lawyer.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Fia, did you want to say anything?
Well, given it's what appears to be the likelihood of lawsuits in this culture, I would suggest that if we could avoid it, at least on this committee, it might be helpful in the long run.
Okay. All right.
What about Jan?
I think it's probably a bad concept. So can we schedule an executive session?
Well, sure. Why don't we have setting of the next meeting date coming up soon. Why don't we discuss that when we get there?
Okay.
All right. So, is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, then it's adopted. So now we move to the election of the pro tem chair and secretary. So nominations are open. Oh, and let me explain the reason it's pro tem, and I believe this practice has been followed by the other committees, is to wait until the elections at WBAI and WPFW have been completed such that they can then elect their committee, their PNB committee members, and then there will be permanent officers elected. So, and we don't know precisely how long that will be. So, with that said, the floor is open for nominations for pro tem chair.
This is Rob Robinson. I have a nomination.
Okay.
I'd like to nominate Bob Lederer to chair the committee.
Thank you. I accept. Other nominations?
This is Jan Goodman. I'd like to nominate Yoshi Yamanaka.
Well, thank you, Jan. I think I'll decline at this time.
Okay. Any other nominations? Okay. Hearing none, then is there anyone who believes there's a need to ballot, or can we agree without objection?
By acclamation.
Can I sarcastically propose a secret ballot?
Sure.
I guess it's not sarcasm, it's some other word. But anyway, acclamation sounds fine by me.
Well, so is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, thank you very much. All right, and now we proceed to the pro tem secretary election. Nominations are open. Don't all jump at once.
I think self-nominations are permitted.
That's absolutely fine. And remember, because it's pro tem, this does not sign you up for the whole year necessarily.
I nominate Jane Gatlin.
I decline.
I nominate Leslie Radford.
I also decline. I have to leave this meeting shortly.
I nominate Chico Chastain. Somebody, come on, volunteer.
I would decline.
Come on, folks. We need somebody to just take very basic minutes. It's not. It's not real
just
long.
Just actions involved of the committee, really.
Yeah, it's not the discussion. It's just whatever motions are adopted.
Well, this is Yosh. My wife will probably kill me, but I will volunteer as pro tem.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Yosh.
Okay.
You tell us where she keeps the weapons. We'll have them.
Okay.
All right. Well, we all certainly appreciate it. So I'm assuming this is by acclamation. Is there any objection? Hearing none, Yosh Yamanaka is the pro tem secretary of this committee. Okay. And Yosh, I actually made up a list of the committee members, which I can email you now so you can use tonight for any roll call.
Okay, good. Although my computer is not responding, so... I'm a little bit in the dark yet again, but sure, I'll try to log on if and when possible.
Okay, great, thank you. Okay, next is setting of the next meeting date. So last year, the committee met generally about once a month, and that would seem to be a sensible schedule, but the floor is open to proposals. Although I think at this point, maybe rather than setting a whole year schedule, my suggestion would be that we just set next month's meeting. Does anyone have a proposal?
What did you say again, Bob? You said next month's meeting?
Just next month's meeting at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Could I amend that and say, go out two or three meetings? Because our calendars tend to get crowded, and if we have at least some sort of at least a penciled-in date, then we can, kind of work around it.
Wesley Bethune.
Hi, Wesley. Okay, and Wesley's from KPFT. Yeah, that sounds reasonable to set maybe three meetings tonight. Is this tonight?
This is Serene.
Yes.
I'm wondering if we might want to do another meeting before the end of this month. The PNB's meeting when the first full weekend in
second
in April.
The second weekend. Yeah.
And it might be good to have something to report to them, or motions that we may want to bring to them that aren't mature enough to be done tonight.
I think that's a very good point. The PNB convenes on the April 11th, so I think it would be wise to meet before the 11th. So, Serene, do you have a proposed date?
Well, what does the last weekend in March look like?
The last weekend in March. How about the first weekend in April?
The closer we get to a board meeting, the more difficult people's schedules become, because you know that you're going to be swamped that, you know, the 11th, so you crowd everything into that first weekend. And I don't know.
How would people feel about Wednesday, March 26th? Now, the Archive Task Force meets that night. Is anyone on
that's
this committee?
Archive Task Force.
That is on that.
KPFD's LSB is going to meet that night for that month only.
Oh, okay. Well, that's out.
How about Thursday, March
27th?
It's Bonnie. I respectfully hope that we won't do Thursday, so I'm on the radio.
Oh, okay.
How about Tuesday, March 25th?
New York LSB.
Monday the 24th.
How about after tonight's meeting, ending tonight's meeting early and having an executive session tonight? Short one.
I'll tell you what, Jan. Let's hold that until we resolve the question of the next public meeting, and then right after that we'll take up your
okay.
proposal.
I just don't want to wait a month.
How about
right.
Wednesday? How about Wednesday the 2nd?
Anyone have a problem with that date? Wednesday?
Well, I didn't hear any objections to the 24th when it came up.
Oh, Monday the 24th. Let's see. Hold on. I'm trying to check the KPFT. Okay.
I
won't. So, Monday, March 24th, anyone object to that date?
I can't.
This is
Jan. I can't. I'll be in Mexico.
You're not available. Okay. Well, let's see if we can make a date where everyone can get.
Not April Fool's Day.
That's Tuesday, April 1st. And
I've got racism and sexism that evening.
Okay.
A meeting, that is.
All right.
How about back to April 2nd?
Yeah, did someone object?
I have argumentation and debate on April 2nd, but that's another topic altogether. I cannot be there on the 2nd.
This is Nikki. I can't be there on the 2nd. This is the weekend of the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King, so there are a lot of national events that are going on around that.
Okay, so that...
How about March 31st, Monday, March 31st? It's the fifth Monday, I think.
Oh, I have what time? Same time.
Same time.
Well, does this time Eastern. Work for people, 8:30 Eastern?
Yes.
Works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good.
So, Afia, is that possible for you, Monday the 31st at 8:30?
Well, it would have to be, I would be late. I have another commitment, but I could, as soon as I could get on the call from that.
All right. Is there anyone else who could not be there on Monday the 31st? All right. Well, then shall we make that? Is there any objection to setting our next date for March 31st?
No objection.
At 8:30. Why don't we say to give Afia a little more opportunity to participate, why don't we say 8:45 p.m.?
Okay.
Okay? All right. Yep. So without objection, that's our next public meeting. Now we have the question of an executive session. So, Jan, you want to propose after this meeting?
I want to.
Go ahead.
I want to propose after this meeting. In other words, making this meeting a little bit shorter and having a 15-minute executive session.
Okay. When you say a little bit shorter, how
well, in other words, if people are committed to being off by 11 o'clock, then having a time certain to adjourn the other meeting.
In other words, 10:45.
At 10:45.
Okay, so that's the motion. The motion is to adjourn this meeting at 10:45 and convene an executive session for 15 minutes. Is there a second? Oh, right, we don't need a second.
For point of information, though.
Yes, go
ahead.
I'm sorry, your call is fading now.
Yeah, someone needs to mute. According to the times that we approved previously, what time is this meeting scheduled?
It's scheduled to end at 11 Eastern. Okay, any other discussion about the 10:45 ending and going into executive session?
Well, can I just say that I think we should comply with whatever we've already agreed on in terms of just run until 11:15. I mean, you know, end the public session at 11 and just do 15 minutes. I can say 15 minutes.
Okay. Is there any discussion of that amendment to go ahead till 11 and then?
I second it. This is Jan.
We can always end earlier.
Right.
If we run out of stuff that we've agreed to do.
Okay. Well, hearing no discussion and no objection, then that's what we'll do. We'll meet up through 11 if we need to, or earlier if we can, and then go into executive session. All right, so I think we're done with that, and we can move on to review and approval of the November 26, 2007 minutes. Now, I know
I'm
that...
sorry,
I,
Bob, were we going to try to set a couple of meetings?
Oh, thank you. I did forget that. Yes. Okay, so we set
March 31st.
March 31st, right. So now we should set our April date proposal.
Tuesday, April 29th.
Okay. Well, before we get into which day of the week, do people think it's okay to wait a month? I mean, it's fine with me. I just want to see if that's in the right kind of time frame in general. Between the two meetings. Is there any objection to waiting till that last week of April?
Not
okay,
sure.
Well, that seems okay with folks. So then let's go through the days of the week just quickly. I think that might be more efficient. Monday the 28th, anyone who can't attend, cannot?
Point of information, can someone just check KPFTX before we...
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, I'm checking.
That week is open?
Just about to get on there. Yes, that whole week is open. So let's start with Monday. Any problems with Monday? Anyone who cannot attend on Monday?
I'd prefer Wednesday, but I could do it.
Okay, required. Tuesday, any problems with Tuesday?
I have a problem with Tuesday and Thursday.
Is that
okay.
Tuesday the 29th?
Yes. Tuesday the 29th and Thursday, May 1st.
Okay. How about Wednesday, April 30th?
That's fine.
Anyone have a problem with that night?
I have a problem with Wednesday.
I'm sorry. Can people just say their names until we get
to this is Leslie.
Leslie. Oh, all right. Yeah. Is that you have a course every Wednesday?
Through June,
okay.
Then it all changes again.
Okay, so no Wednesdays for now. All right, so it sounds like the one date no one objected to is Monday the 28th. Is that correct? Is there any objection? Okay, then hearing none, that's our April meeting, Monday, April 28th. So then one more and we're done. May, shall we just go the
I'm sorry, Rob, this is Yosh. Would that Monday, the 28th, be at 8:30 Eastern?
That would be my suggestion.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so then May, shall we just do a month later? Now, I believe Monday...
It's Memorial Day.
Yeah, the 26th is Memorial Day, so we're not going to want to do that. So shall we... Well, it looks like we're having trouble with any night of the week other than Monday, so shall we instead do the preceding week, the Monday... No, that May 19th is Malcolm X's birthday. That's not a good day. What about the following Monday, June 2nd? Any objection to that?
We might be having
Monday
a
the what?
KPFK LSB meeting that day.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was Monday,
really?
June 2nd.
Jen, I
oh, June you know, the 2nd?
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to have a Monday meeting. I doubt it. So I wouldn't worry right now about KPFK Monday the 2nd.
Okay.
We certainly have enough time if we need to change.
Right. Right. Is there any other objection? Any other person who has a problem with Monday, June 2nd? Okay. Hearing none, then that's our June meeting. So then we're done setting meetings for tonight. So now let's move on to review and approval of the November 26th minutes. Now, I apologize, I was only able to send that out yesterday. So is there people on the call who did not get to look over those minutes?
I've got a question.
Yes.
Bob, I've got a question. You know,
I'm sorry. Hold on, Yosh. Who just joined?
I'm sorry. I got cut off. Somehow my phone ran out or whatever, and I'm coming back in. Wesley Bethune.
Wesley. Okay. Hi. Okay. Yes. Yosh, go ahead.
Yeah, I would point out that people who weren't at the meeting really aren't eligible to vote one way or the other.
Well, actually, my understanding is under Robert's rules, people are eligible to vote, but I think most people would just say, that doesn't make sense, and they would choose to abstain. But technically, they have the right to vote if they're a voting member of the committee.
Okay, well, I'll defer to you on Robert's rules, although that's not my understanding, but I won't go head-to-head with you on that.
Okay, thank you. All right, so does anyone object to us going ahead and discussing and voting on this, or does someone want to defer it?
I have a quick point of information. I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to look at the minutes. But was anything that happened on that day that has an immediate bearing on something we're to discuss today?
Well, yes, because on tonight's agenda, I put two of the continuing issues that were, one of which was dealt with concerning campaign finance reform, and the other of which we ran out of time before we got to it, which is Rob's proposal for a campaign, I'm sorry, for a an election review task force.
Mm.
So there is some relevance. But if you would like to postpone this, if you would like to propose postponing this, we could do that.
I'd be inclined to do that.
Okay, so that's a motion to postpone. Any discussion of that?
What would be the point of it? Postpone.
I'm sorry?
I said, what would be the point of postponing it?
I know that
giving
I haven't
more
had a
time
chance
to read them.
Okay, that's a good reason.
Well, yeah, just let Serene answer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was probably at that meeting, but it has been so long, and I haven't had email access this week so far, so I really have no clue what it says or how accurate it is. So I'm one of the continuing members, and I'm not inclined to vote on it.
Okay, so is there any objection then to postponing this to the next meeting? Okay, hearing none, that's adopted, and now we go to the WPFW report with Jane.
I'm sorry, can I ask
a... Yes.
Casey on the line with us yet?
No, I was just actually, while Jane is speaking, I was going to get off the phone for a second and call him.
I'll just call him on another phone, and you can stay on.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and share with the committee the written report that I had prepared for. Just for the records, our LSB is very troubled by the disorganization and of our elections and how everything has turned out. I did forward my written report to everybody. It'll just take a couple minutes to read the highlights of it. Basically, on February 8, 2008, in response to my telephone inquiry, Casey Peters reported that he had been instructed by interim ED Siegel that the 2007 LSB listener representative election, having failed to achieve quorum, was officially closed, and that, as specified in the bylaws, all currently seated delegate members will remain in office until the next election. Vacancies, if they arrive, should be filled as per bylaws instructions on this matter. Also, at the instruction of Siegel, our local election supervisor was instructed to send the ballots for the staff election, which had met quorum, to Casey Peters. And he certified the staff election and posted the results on the Pacifica election website. I'll add a note that's not in my written report, which is that none of the candidates received any of this information. I think that there were some phone conversations with our chair, but we did not get a written report of any of this. It was only after my phone inquiry that, you know, I typed up this official information and distributed it to the members. But by this point, there was a lot of speculation going around. I'm going to return now to my written report. I just provided our committee with a statement of who the affected delegate members were and who the remaining affected candidates were. I wanted that all to go into the record. And then I finished up with just my own comments, the implication of the ruling. I wrote, Siegel's ruling has prompted various discussions among board members that no formal response has been proposed yet. Several members, I would say, are really pushing to have our ballots counted, even though Siegel has said that they will not be counted. Among the concerns that I have put in my report, number one, while the ruling may address the letter of the law, it does not provide any of the critical context that led to the failure to reach quorum. Two, it does not offer any guidance to help resolve the underlying problems that led to this failure. Three, if no other action is taken, this ruling will result in a 2009 LSB election in which all 18 listener member seats will need to be filled. And a fourth one, I don't have it written here, but I'm going to add, the fourth one is that most of the current members are very troubled by the disrespect that whether intended or not, a lot of people spent time campaigning to serve in this position, and there is a sense that the current state of affairs is very disrespectful to the time that people invested in that. So I just wanted that to go on record, and some of the amendments that I made verbally here, I'll add to my report to our board.
Okay, thank you, Jane. Does anyone have questions for Jane?
Jan Goodman, I have a question.
And this is Rob. I'd like to add something after Jan.
Okay.
My question is, what was the quorum and how far off from the quorum were the votes? If you're not precise, it's okay. I'm trying to get a sense of it.
Okay. I'm going to say that early on I heard the quorum was going to be 1,600. Later I heard the quorum was going to be 1,300. And I think we got around 1,000. I don't know why the change, because I'm sure I heard 1,650 early on in the initial reports when the ballots first started coming in. And later that number was revised to 1,200 or 1,300. And I've never heard an explanation of why that occurred.
This is Bill.
This is Rob.
Go ahead.
Because of things that we've discussed in the meeting earlier, I would object to having any further discussion of this outside of executive session. I mean, I agree with almost everything Jane said, but I would prefer discussing this with the committee in executive session.
Okay. is there any objection to moving on to the next item? All right. Hearing none, then we go on to our next item, which is the report from the National Election Supervisor, followed by questions and answers. And Casey, welcome. We have allocated 45 minutes for that in total, not for your report, but for the whole item. So if you could maybe try to, well, how long would you need for the report?
I'll try to make it as brief as possible.
Okay.
Excuse me, Casey. This is Leslie, and I do have to leave this call for a few minutes, but I will be back shortly. Thank you.
Go ahead, Casey.
Okay. If it's permissible, I'd like to start with just a quick comment on the last item of discussion.
Okay.
And that is that another factor, in addition to all the seats being open in next year's election, is that several people will be term limited out, both at the end of 2009, the people who served two full terms, and then I believe there's also some people who were, there may be also some people who have the February 2010 term limits. I'm not certain of that, but that I have a list posted of all the people at each station who will be term limited out. If you go to PacificaElections.org, all that information is available there. Well, as far as things stand right now, we're looking at the WBAI vote count coming up 10 days from now. And we're still handling a lot of replacement ballots. But the tide had diminished on that, but now that the deadline for requesting ballots is coming up in a couple of days, there's been a bit of a surge. Taking care of that and planning on going to New York and doing the vote count. I'm working on my final report, which will really elucidate most of what I would report on now. But just overall, I will say that the biggest problem, other than the timeline, which was addressed somewhat by the bylaws amendment passed last year, but the biggest problem is lists. And this is something.
I'm sorry, the biggest problem is what?
Lists. Membership lists. The nature of the problem is that our databases are gathered for purposes other than membership participation in governance. The biggest list, of course, at each station is the subscriptions list, which is put together by volunteers in a noisy phone room, and then the information is taken from their handwriting and typed into Memsys. We found that there's a lot of errors in that process. It's hard to tell sometimes whether somebody's saying John White or Don Wyatt, for instance. I personally just been going through the WBAI list to prepare for the vote count there and have found well over 100 duplicates after it's already been purged for duplicates. So that's, and then we also have a problem of people being left off. We've discovered today that part of the problem seems to be people who who paid with PayPal at the end of the membership qualifying period were left off the mailing list that we subsequently got for mailing out the ballots. How many instances of that there may be, we don't know, but we discovered a couple of them just today. So there, another part of the problem is, you know, that's just one list. What has to be merged with the subscriptions list is the volunteer list, and that is not well kept at any station. And so we have people signing in as volunteers and putting in the 3 hours that would make them a member, with different nicknames and incomplete information. And so there's a lot of people who are excluded, or who become duplicates. In any case, it's something we should think about, is maybe putting everybody on the same database. Then there's the question of the volunteers that have put in more than 30 hours over the qualifying 3 month period. And again, those records are not kept uniformly, and generally there's a lot of guesswork at the end of the 3 month period as to who did or did not qualify. And, you know, some people want to be staff so that they can vote in the election where your vote has stronger value. And some people do not want to be counted as staff so that they can run for the board in the listener election where they may think they'll find more support. And then there's the paid staff, which I'll just, you know, for example, give you one station. KPFA had four different lists of unpaid staff with different people and different addresses for people, and then next door at the national office they had yet another list. I mean, it seems ridiculous to me that we can't even, you know who our paid staff members are. And and then another problem is that management is not allowed to vote in the staff election, but there's no clear definition of management. I spoke with Dominga last year about, you know, what the Human Resources Office knew about this, and they said it's different at every station who's considered to be part of management. It's sort of a guessing game. The biggest problem we have is the membership list, both because people who are members are not getting ballots, and people are also getting duplicate ballots. And so something should be done this year when there's no election.
Yes.
To address that problem. One of the things I would suggest would be to closely study organizations that offer ballots that are accessible online. This can be done in a secure way that allows anybody who didn't get a ballot or who muffed up their ballot and wants to change it to access the system and get their ballot without having to wait in a very frustrating process, you know, for a ballot. And another thing that we should look at is having membership cards that give an accurate date of when your membership expires, so that people will be able to readily know whether or not they're an active member. Because we have a lot of people who are asking for ballots at WBAI right now who last pledged in August of 2006, which means they pledged just before the qualifying period, or people who paid in September of 2007, in which case they all also missed the qualifying period. And they're rightfully frustrated, but if they had the information readily at their hands, they would know whether they were qualified to be a voting member and could, you know, either volunteer or pay their subscription. So, and I'd like to convention that this is not new. This is something that was in my 2003 report and my 2006 report as local election supervisor for KPFK. And these problems are going to continue unless Pacifica Foundation as an organization tackles these problems. And one other thing I wanted to mention along that line is that Article 3, Section 3 prohibits people from voting at more than one station. But there's no national database to make sure that people are doing that. And so that's a provision that can't be enforced until we have our database better organized. So I would like to, well, yeah, there's plenty of other things. I don't know whether you want me to take questions as we go or whether you want me to continue with my general report.
Why don't we pause now for questions and then, you know, you can come back and continue with other items.
Okay.
So, members of the committee, anyone have questions?
Bill.
Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Are you going to talk about replacement ballots or should I ask about that now?
Go ahead.
Well, I understand the problem with the database. I agree that's a big problem, but there were numerous cases, at least in our station at KPFT, and from what I've heard at all the other stations, where people who were on the database correctly were obviously members, requested replacement ballots well in advance, sometimes multiple times, were told replacement ballots had been mailed, and it still didn't happen. So I'm not trying to blame anybody or whatever. I realize there's various places problems could happen, but what can we do to make sure that doesn't happen again?
Well, it definitely is a problem, and I do think that making ballots accessible online could really obviate a lot of the frustration, both on the administrative part and on the part of participants who want to vote in the election. And it would also drastically cut down our expense if we didn't have to mail to nearly 100,000 people. I mean, certainly we would make ballots available by mail to those who requested them. But the cost of a fulfillment house that it's supposed to put the correct ballot in the envelope that's addressed to the correct person is a very high expense, and there are always inaccuracies. For instance, I had a report of somebody at WBAI receiving a K ballot. I mean, when you're dealing with something on that large a scale, mistakes are bound to happen.
Well, could I ask? No, I understand.
It has been a problem, you know, in every election we've had, and we need to address it.
Okay, I understand the advantages. Also, understand a lot of the disadvantage of electronic voting. If we decided that we didn't want electronic voting because of verification problems there, is there another solution for the replacement?
Well, what I was suggesting not is voting online, but being able to download your ballot and mail it in. One thing I would say is that I think the idea of a task force on elections is a good one. This is a good because we don't have an election this year to study what other organizations do and learn from them, and also to review the election supervisors' reports from 2003 to the present and really get a good grasp of what problems are existing. Because I mean, the idea of elected boards is a good one. I think that most of us agree on that. But the question is how to do it less trouble. It's a trouble-ridden system the way it is now, and that's been true in every election year. And I'm sure that we can learn from others and from our own mistakes. And you know, I don't have all the answers, but I will have some in my final report.
This is Bob. Actually, I'd like to ask a question, follow up on Bill, and that is the problem that happened. Particularly at WBAI, with a lot of voters who didn't get the ballot, requested a replacement, and then heard nothing, requested a second time, a third time, a fourth time, still heard nothing, and then in some cases 4 months have gone by because lawsuit that was filed, and they still haven't heard anything, or maybe they're just getting their ballots this week. And my question is, I remember having a discussion at the national board meeting last, I believe, September, with you, Casey, about the question of whether you would need a paid assistant in order to process what would inevitably be a lot of requests for replacement ballots. And you said, yes, that would be a good thing. And so the money was approved, and you had an assistant. And so I'm just wondering, how did this happen with an assistant that so many people got no responses and in some cases no ballot, in many cases no ballot, and in some cases they didn't even hear one way or the other whether the request had even been received?
That's a very good point. First of all, let me say that my assistant, for those who don't know, was Les Radke, who had been the national election supervisor in the previous year. And I did not directly supervise work, but we were in touch throughout. And why it was that people kept not having the ballot delivered is a mystery to me, and I really don't know. I mean, certainly a lot of people who requested them did get their ballots, but there are some people who seem to have problem in receiving them. One thing about this job is that to supervise 10 elections at the same time is completely stultifying. I mean, the kind of hours that I was working and that Les was working and that the local election supervisors are working, not only is a burnout, but there just isn't enough time and energy to see to everything, because at the same time as people are requesting ballots, there's their campaign provisions that are being violated, and there's, you know, we're trying to organize events and getting information out to the people and all that. My wife Marilyn, who put in hundreds of volunteer hours over this past election, suggests is that we should have staggered elections. That is, focus on just one station at a time, and that way it'll be easier to deal with the problems instead of trying to do everything all at once. I don't know if that's the answer, but it's certainly something worth considering.
Okay, other questions?
Serene,
yes.
Serene, please. Thanks. Hi, Casey. I think I just understood you to say that people who pledged in August of 06 and paid in September in September would not have qualified. Why on earth would they not have qualified?
No. No, what I said is that people who paid in August of 06 and then again in September of 07 missed the whole year that is the qualifying period.
The issue of membership cards is complicated by the fact that we now have rolling membership, so that essentially every time someone pledged it or contributed at least $25, we might find ourselves in a position to have to send them a new membership card, which
There's organizations where you put on a new stamp.
I've been to college,
done 3 hours of volunteer time, or you did paid another $25 or whatever, then you'd get a stamp to put on your card that would update the membership.
Okay.
I know that's an expense, but I think in the long term, really, it would save us money, and also membership cards are a good way to make the station more visible in the community. You can get, for instance, merchants and theaters and whatnot to offer a discount for Pacifica Radio members.
Oh, we actually have membership cards in New York. But, you know, part of, and I know that this was just mentioned, but I'm not quite sure that the importance of it and the severity of the problem it has caused has really been incorporated into the functioning. First of all, I think I heard you say that you don't have any direct supervisory authority over your assistant, the person who's actually sending out the ballots.
I did not say authority, but I that was being done in Berkeley, and I headquartered in Los Angeles, and I was not personally supervising that operation every step of the way. I was getting reports back that ballots were being mailed out, and then there were some errors acknowledged, such as that the they were using the envelopes that had the pre-printed nonprofit stamp in the corner, and what that meant was that we perhaps the ink on the postage machine wasn't showing up stronger than the other. So that may have been a problem with some of the ballots, but that problem was recognized, and then from then on they used a label to go over it so that the postage meter would read properly.